ऐसी मशीन लगाऊंगा, इस साइड से आलू घुसेगा, उस साइड से सोना निकलेगा।
Welcome everyone to the Attention Please podcast now on video. If you like the podcast, kindly like, share, subscribe. You know what to do. So I'm back after a while. It's not that I've been fairly regular in doing these podcasts. I used to do it once every week, but I've become lax. Basically, not because I don't have anything to say, but because I just cannot seem to muster up what we used to call the enthu to do these podcasts. But now that I'm back, after a one-month trip in India, there's a lot of things for me to say, so I'll do one. What I wanted to do this podcast on was based on a tweet that I had made, which went viral. I didn't think it was particularly noticeable or even knew what I was saying. So what I was saying, and again, for those of you who haven't been following the tweet thread or don't follow me on Twitter, here's a little bit of context. So after more than 4 years, I was in India. Normally, I used to go to India once every year. Sometimes I've been to India twice a year. But this time, of course, because of COVID and because my parents come regularly to the US, it just happened to be that it was 4 years. The last time I'd been there was in 2018, in January. So, of course, I went there, and like most NRI uncles, you know, you go there, you have a mental model of how things are based on your 23 years of being there. And then when you go there, you immediately see that your mental model has been superposed with reality. So this shock happens every time. And obviously, the further apart your visits are, the shock is greater. So this time I went to India and there were a lot of good things that I saw. And one of the tweets that I'd made, which was also viral, but not as viral as the other tweets, right, was that when we were growing up, NRI uncles, when they used to come to India, they used to say what a terrible place this was and how much better US was. And now we have reached the stage where NRI uncles like me, when we come to India, we say how good this place is and how terrible the place where we are right now, as I stay in the US, is. And this, again, is something which I've said many times. I've pointed out, again, I'll come to that later, but coming to the tweet thread. So the tweet thread was specifically scoped on something which was very small. It was that the kind of delivery services that we have in India, which allows you to get food from any corner of Calcutta very efficiently. So I was ordering, obviously, since I was in India, I was sampling different kinds of biryani, my favorite food, Kolkata biryani, by the way. And what I found this time, in contrast to the previous times that I visited, I didn't need to go to these places. I could just sit at home and order it through the app, and it would be delivered within an hour from whichever corner of Calcutta. And this to me coming from US, this was to me a tremendous convenience, because we have app delivery services here too. We have Postmates, we have Uber Eats, but they're terrible in terms of their efficiency. So I'd given some examples of some of the terrible experiences that I have had with food delivery apps in the US. And it was like I'd tried them twice or thrice, and it has been a miserable failure every time. So I understand that people might have different experiences with food delivery apps, but there will always be like this 2% noise, bad experience in anything. It doesn't matter what kind of customer service experience it is. You're going to have always 2%, 3% bad experiences regardless. But in my case, at least, again, it's not a statistically significant sample. Every time, two or three times, I have tried to use these delivery services in the US, and I stay in the Los Angeles city area. So, of course, my experience in the US is also a vast country. So, obviously, experiences will vary. But based on my experiences, again, not on a statistically significant sample, I found that they were terrible. And that's why I stopped using them, because there was one time when I ordered about $200 worth of Indian food because my parents were here. We wanted to have dinner. My mother has mobility issues, so she has trouble walking. So food delivery is very convenient. And when we ordered the food, the driver first went to the wrong store. Then when he went to the right store, he went there after the store had closed. And we couldn't get all this information. I had to keep on calling the driver. And it was picked up many hours later by his son, who said, "My father can't speak English." So then he explained that, you know, this is the reason we went there. The store was closed. And I was about for an hour or so on call with the delivery app, even to get a live representative. And once I got it, the live representative said, we can't do anything because the store has already charged this. And then I had to call my credit card company to cancel that charge, to dispute that charge. So overall, in order to avoid going to the restaurant, which would have taken me perhaps half an hour, I spent about 2.5 hours arguing that. So again, you can read the tweet thread for details. There was another thing which I also said, which was about the, it was not just food delivery service, but also delivery of medical services. So in India, I again had a health issue. So I had to get my blood taken. I had to see a doctor. But even then, in the US, in order to see a specialist where I stay, you might have to wait 2 to 3 months. I see a general physician. And again, you're free not to believe me, but the next appointment that I can get now is in November. And I see him. I've been seeing him for the last 4 years, not a new patient. And he's a general practitioner. So when I got COVID, and I did get COVID just before I went to India, I couldn't see my doctor. My doctor said, I don't see COVID patients. So I had to go to the urgent care to get a doctor to see me and to get tested. During the height of COVID, when I got COVID, fortunately, it was, you know, it was the peaks were over. But I have seen, because we drive by that place, there's an urgent care center where you've seen lines sneaking for like, I wouldn't say miles, but fairly a mile, absolutely a mile, people standing, sick people, older people standing in the line just to get a test taken. And people then said, oh, you don't test, you're lying. What about drive-by clinics? Have you ever been to drive-by clinics? We have. So we had to get, so my daughter, in order to get back to school, she needed a negative test result. Normally, these test results are given through the school. So the school does the testing, but this was, school was closed. So we had to get the test result from somewhere else. So we went to this one of these drive-by test centers, okay? So these drive-by test centers, first of all, in order to get an appointment to many of them, and we went there when it was not one of those peak seasons. So in order to get a drive-by appointment during the peak season, I checked, your waiting time was 4 to 5 days. If I was going to wait for 4 to 5 days to get COVID tested, then why the F am I even getting myself COVID tested, okay? So that was one thing. With my daughter, we went there, and we went about a week in advance because that was the time period they had given for the validity of the test. And these guys gave the test results, an RT-PCR test results, 10 days after we had done the results. Okay, we knew, we realized at that point of time that we couldn't wait because then she wouldn't be able to go to school because these guys were just not giving the RT-PCR results. So we had to go to a school. They were, initially we had gone to this drive by because we didn't want to go to these certain few schools that were still administering test results because we didn't want to go to the crowd and get possibly run the risk of being infected. But we had to do it a day before Monday. I mean, I think we went Sunday or Saturday because we realized that the test results wasn't going to come. So this is the kind of the state of testing in the Los Angeles city area. And in contrast, when my parents, when they got COVID, they just had to call people and they came to a house, took their tests, and they delivered the result within 24 hours. And even now, this time when I went to India, it wasn't a COVID test. The test results, the same test results that I get in the US, which take 3 to 4 days, was delivered to me within 24 hours. So I was commenting on the efficiency of the Indian system via two very specific things. And I also mentioned, by the way, this is important, that in Bengal, the whole notion of Duare Sarkar, which is delivering government services to your doorsteps, which was an initiative started by the Mamata Banerjee government, I said, even that works fairly efficiently in the villages compared to what you would think. And that's a remarkable achievement. Again, I was praising the Trinamool Congress government. This is significant for what I'm going to go to. I was praising the Trinamool Congress government and I compared it with the US government, where in the US, the only time the government ever comes to your door is either to arrest you or to deliver an eviction notice. Otherwise, the government, there's no expectation of the government to come to your door at any point of time. So contrast that to India, where at least there is an expectation that the government will deliver services to your door. So these are all great things. And for me, growing up, you know, we couldn't imagine any of these things. Because standing in a ration line was considered to be a rite of passage in those days. So anyhow, after I'd made these tweets, again, the tweets went viral and I was subject to the most vile of abuse from the Congress IT cell and from the ARP IT cell. So the abuse ran on two ways, many ways, let's go. One was, if US is so good, then why don't you come? If US is so bad, then why don't you come back to India? So first of all, again, this is the Congress IT cell and ARP IT cell we're talking about. So let's take that into context in terms of the logical faculties that they're likely to have. And when I say IT cell, I don't mean that they're all being paid 2 rupees per tweet. Some may be doing it even voluntarily, which is even more alarming. Is that I just compared delivery services and the delivery of medical services between India and the US. But we don't change countries based on that, right? It's a whole continuum of experiences. So this is just one data point. So from that to extrapolate to that is, of course, par for the course for those who think that Arvind Kejriwal and Rahul Gandhi are viable candidates as prime minister. But I understand that. I'm given that, I think I can understand why they would extrapolate. I'm not trying to, I mean, it's expected. And then, now the underlying problem really, the underlying problem is that we have a group of people in this country who are so indoctrinated that they think that any positive comment on the country is a upvote for Narendra Modi and BJP. Even though this is important, the only governmental example that I gave was for Trinamool Congress. So I said, Trinamool Congress has done something good. Yet, that was like the third or the fourth tweet. I don't know even if they read that or even if they read that, they don't care. It's ultimately Modi, right? This has got nothing to do with Modi at all. This was a comment about private app delivery services and not run by the government. And in some cases, some of the governmental schemes in Bengal, again, not run by BJP. And yet, even the Trinamool Congress trolls, were on me. Not seeing what I had written. This just goes to show how indoctrinated, other than how stupid people are. I mean, stupid, let's keep it to the side. But how indoctrinated people are that any positive, and you would think that people would like to hear positive things about their country, right? You would think so. But no, now people want to hear negative things about their country. And anybody who speaks positive things, firstly, it's because of Modi. And that's kind of even if you think of it, I mean, isn't that a backhanded compliment in many ways from the people who are anti-Modi, that any good thing you can basically, they at least in their mind, they trace back to Modi, that they think that any good thing which happens positive, possibly happened because of Modi. I mean, the problem is with you. The problem isn't with me, by the way. I actually didn't think of Modi at all while tweeting. I mean, my main thing was private app delivery services and Trinamool Congress. So I don't know where this came from also. But anyways, that was one thing. And then, so in response to that, I said that, look, see, the reason why I don't stay in India, it's got nothing to do with app services. First of all, the decision to stay in the US or India was taken years ago. And at that point of time, these things were not there. So that's it. And you say, why don't you rethink that decision? Well, I have a 9-year-old daughter who's an US citizen. So obviously, it's at this point, again, I can rethink, but it's usually not the app delivery services which will bring me home, right? So, but I'd say the reason at that point of time where I'd chosen to stay in the US, and people who follow me know this is true because I've said this before many times, even before this, so it's not something which I'm making up, is that the specialization, I'm a PhD in computer science, and the very niche thing that I did my PhD in and I then branched out to, there's virtually no demand for that in India. There's no demand for that in industry in India. Again, not government, in industry in India. I've tried many times, but there was no interest. And again, I could go and work and that's what I said, that doesn't mean that I don't have a job in India. I could definitely not use my specialization and go and work as a software engineer. But at this point of time, given the amount of experience and given the amount of knowledge that I have, obviously I would want to capitalize on it. So I would obviously lose a lot of money, earning potential, if I just went and joined any IT job. That was my point. In order for me to fully encash my expertise, I need to be in a place where there is a demand for it, right? That's basic economics. And that's why I'm in the US. Should be simple, right? But no, it wasn't. There was another guy who apparently tweeted, and you know that, you know, this idiot, which is me, can't even see the irony of what he's saying versus the reason why app delivery services are good, which is, again, the reason why app delivery services are good is because of Narendra Modi. Apparently, there are so many jobless people. Obviously, before 2014, there were absolutely no jobless people. The joblessness was very controlled. There was no unemployment unrest, apparently. This is when I grew up. So you can't lie to me as to what I have seen growing up. 2014, I was in the US, but I've grown up in the late 80s and 90s in India, and I know the state of jobs in those days, right? So even then, there were no delivery services, quote unquote. So apparently the reason why, according to these geniuses, that the delivery service is good is because of abundance of cheap labor in India, for which they have no choice. And the reason why in the US it's bad is because of the exact opposite. Now, here's the thing. In the US, the app delivery service, and I've talked about pizza, and I've talked about pizza delivery, that even pizza delivery, the whole, it's so American that, you know, basically 50% of porn is based out of the whole notion of the pizza delivery man being always available. And now it isn't true. You can't get pizza delivered. Pizza places give you a steep discount if you go and pick up your own pizza. Okay. So why has this happened? Again, the US suddenly didn't become prosperous, right? If at all, if you ask anybody in the US, they will say that the gap between the rich and the poor have increased. Things have gotten worse. So how is this the case? It's because, again, this was because of COVID, because of, you know, direct cash transfer. Many people just stopped working. And also because many Americans have their own houses. So house prices went up by 20% almost in some places even more in the last 2-3 years. So many people who would otherwise be working in delivery services think, I'm getting checks delivered to my home, and this place that I sit in, the value of it just appreciated 20-30%. I mean, it's, why would I work at a pizza place? Why would I deliver food? And that's why they're not working. This is a temporary thing right now. But again, I don't know when this situation will be better, but you know, there are many people for whom when they go to work, it's just work. It's not a career. I wouldn't think like that because I don't deliver. That's the reason. But there are people who think like that. And that's why there is a labor shortage in the US. It's a labor shortage at the lower end at this point of time. Again, it has got nothing to do with the prosperity of the country, because this wasn't there a few years ago. Of course, these things are difficult for some people to understand. I know that. But coming back to India, the whole notion that in India, app services are better and medical services are delivered at home better because of abundance of labor. I didn't make any point about the cost of delivery, by the way. I would understand that criticism if I'd made a point about the cost of delivery. I didn't. So cost is related to demand and supply, yes. But the efficiency of it has some bearing, obviously. But it also is about the system with respect to medical. I'll give you a very, because this is a domain that I know well since I work in the general industry, is that one of the reasons why in the US you cannot deliver healthcare like you do in India is because of onerous privacy laws. It's the whole Kagazne Dikhange, which makes no sense to me. The cost that people pay for this kind of patient privacy, I think isn't worth it. So in India, the guy took a phone. I mean, they send your reports through WhatsApp, right? In the US, you can't do that. Your doctor won't send it to you through WhatsApp. You have to go and pick it up. Or there'll be a specialized patient portal where you have to jump through hoops in order for it to first get into the patient portal. And for, besides the cost, it just adds vital time, hours, when you are trying to find out if you have a condition or not. So in India, the delivery service, the delivery of healthcare is driven by pragmatics. In the US, often it's not pragmatic. You wonder, dude, take my PHI, who cares? Just give me my frigging results. So this is the cost. So this has got nothing to do with labor market, nothing to do with Narendra Modi, nothing to do with Joe Biden. But the fact is, people have become so closed-minded, so politically indoctrinated that they've stopped thinking straight. Not only have they stopped thinking straight, but they're willing to go and attack anyone who tries to think straight. And again, I didn't say anything about the labor market. And coming to the irony of it, again, the reason why I'm in the US isn't because I am not going to get a job in India. I am not here because I was jobless in India. Even if I go back now, I'm not going to be jobless. I can assure you that. It's not that there aren't jobs available. It's that private industry, again, not Narendra Modi, doesn't do the kind of work that I need to do in order to maximize my earning potential. Now, is that too much for you to understand? It has always been. It has always been. And if there is anybody to criticize, criticize Indian private companies, criticize the Infosys and the TCSs and the HCLs and the Cognizants, criticize them if you want. I don't criticize them. I think they have their niche and they do their stuff. That's all. They make money. They are under no obligation to hire people like me or to expand the scope of their offerings. No, in the US, they have to. In the US, it is often driven by regulations. It is often driven by customer demand. Cybersecurity. In India, it doesn't happen. So my being in the US has got nothing to do with the labor market in India. Again, you would think that people would understand that. And I actually made that point. It's not that I let people presume that. I actually said that explicitly. But yet. So yeah, I am in the US. I got nothing to do with the abundance of labor in India. It's got nothing to do with it at all. I hope that someday in India, people will move and people will realize the importance of cybersecurity. You would think that they would based on things that happen, but they haven't yet. Because in general, and it comes back to that whole patient privacy thing. In India, people are not that concerned about these things. It's a cultural thing. People aren't really concerned whether, you know, somebody gets to know in the hospital who's not supposed to know that their urea levels are higher than they should be. In the US, this would be a HIPAA violation and would lead to, you know, money being changed. You'd have to pay. You'd be fined for that. So obviously, culturally, we've decided, and I think India has done the right thing, if you ask me, has taken a different stance. And that kind of comes out because of that cultural choice. India has taken some other wrong cultural choices with respect to freedom of speech. We can get into that in the next podcast. But at least in the case of privacy, it's taking the right, more pragmatic choice, right? You know, that not everybody needs to protect their PHI, and the societal costs of that, and the cost in terms of the timeliness of healthcare delivery, the adverse effect it causes on that, isn't worth it. And that was the point. That was the point I was trying to make. With delivery services, it's not just the free of it. It's not that the delivery, that there are lots of people working for, you know, very little wages. Again, it was not an economic argument I'd made, but the fact that the system works efficiently. That was the thing. System in its entirety, the apps, the way the apps work, the way the person, the way you communicate, everything works better in India. That was the thing. And it got very little to do with the underlying labor market. But again, who will understand? But the point that I wish to make, and that's the more important thing that I want people to leave with, is that we have reached a stage where there is people, and this is worth thinking. There are people who would engage in different kinds of intellectual calisthenics, I would say, not the most obvious way of doing things, in order to bring down someone who's trying to say that, hey, at least on this one aspect, in these one or two aspects, I was very pleasantly surprised by how far India has come. I mean, that should have been non-controversial, but hoo boy, if you don't believe me, go to my tweet thread and just read the replies in the quote tweets. Thank you, and that's it for this week. I'll be back next week, or maybe even sooner, with the next episode of this podcast. Till then, bye-bye.